I'm so glad to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here, being a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. Thank you for making the decision to be in attendance, not only those who are in worship today, but those who are in our Sunday school classes, our Bible classes. We had really good attendance, and so thank you very much for that. I'm getting a wave by my friend Hazley back there, so I had to wave back at her. So, hey, Hazley. If you're visiting with us, thank you very much for being here too. What a blessing it is. I'm going to tell you, this is a great place to be. This is very special to me, and I know it's special to a lot of people, and we're excited about the opportunity that you may want to be a part of us here at Azalea City. I do want to say that it's been a great service, and I appreciate those who've led in it. And I think Kent Wilkerson is a wonderful, wonderful man. And I can imagine how wonderful of a grandfather he is, can't you? Wasn't that neat? But thank you, Kent, for challenging us with those words to think more like Jesus. Today I want to talk to you about doing more, obviously. But I want to talk to you from a standpoint of what's in your hand. You know, I think that I wrote about this, I know I wrote about this in the bulletin, but I think that that mindset, that question, has probably been a question I've tried to ask myself more than most. Terry, what has God given you, and what are you doing with it? You know, when that question was asked of Moses in Exodus chapter 4, he asked him, what's in your hand? See, that was a moment of doubt in Moses' mind. It was a moment of unbelief. It was a moment of, I can't do this, God. And God reminded him of something that's been in his hand for years. Something that he's used to shepherd a flock with. You remember Moses now, God's plan with Moses was for him to be drawn out of the water, which he was, to be raised up in Pharaoh's house, which he was, to be friends with the new king, to go in and simply say, hey man, that's God's people, let's let them go. And he'd say, okay, well, Moses blew that though. Moses blew it by killing the Egyptian, trying to cover it up, and then he had to flee. Remember, he fled to Midian. Well, not all was lost, because in Midian he met Jethro. When he met Jethro, he ended up understanding that Jethro had a lot of sheep, had a lot of flocks, and so Moses learned the art of shepherding, of leading. And so he had that staff, and he used it to shepherd the flock, and one day he shepherd him all the way to the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, and there is when he encountered that burning bush that was not consumed. And that's when he encountered God. And it's in this point in Exodus chapter 4 when he says, what's in your hand? Today I want to ask you, more importantly, God wants to ask you, what's in your hand? What do we possess that we can use to bring glory and honor to God? See, something's in all of our hands. Something's in all of our lives. We know that in Matthew 25, that's where we learn about the parable of the talents, right? And in Matthew chapter 25, we learn that everybody had at least one talent. Yes, some were given more than others, but everybody in that story had at least one that they were supposed to do something with. The one who got in the most trouble, or the one who got in trouble, was the one who didn't do anything with the talent that he had. He went outside and he buried it, trying to protect it, trying to not lose it. He ended up losing it. He ended up displeasing the master. Today, as we talk about what's in our hands, what do we possess, I want to remind us of what Gabriel read to us from Luke chapter 12, verse 48, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. That's the mindset today, and the story I've picked to be able to talk about this is found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. John chapter 6, 1 through 15, we learn about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now that's a great story. And that's a story that I want to remind you is not only found in John 6, but it's found in all the Gospels. In fact, it is found in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, and also in Luke chapter 9. In this story, in this miracle. There are three things that we all possess one way or the other. And so today I want us to focus on these three things. I want us to focus on what God has given us that we possess today that we can be using to the glory of God. Listen to it now, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Him because they saw His signs, which He performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this He said to test Him, for He knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He contributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, He said to His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and ask Him, take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. What an amazing story. An amazing story of feeding 5,000, and it's not just people, it's 5,000 men. So that doesn't count the women that were with them and the children. So in this number, there are a lot of people, right? And Jesus, from this, teaches a great lesson. He teaches a great lesson to the disciples and a great lesson to those who were eating. And with that, today we can learn something that I believe we can apply to our lives to help us do more for God in 2018. Now, none of us in here possess the ability to turn 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish into enough food to feed thousands of people and have leftovers. We just don't have that in our possession. But we do have things that we can do to help others. We have things in our possession, in our lives, that we can use to make a difference. It's like that little boy, and we've heard that story so many times, and I've used that story so many times. That little boy who was trying to save the starfish. They had all washed up. The tide had come in and it brought them up, and then the tide had gone out and they couldn't get back in the water, and they're all going to be dried up by the sun, and he's throwing them in as fast as he can. You know the story. And the man comes along and he says, "Hey son, you're not going to be able to save all these starfish. You're not making any difference." And he picks up another one. He throws it in. He said, "I made a difference to him." And that's the point. There's somebody out there we can make a difference. Yeah, the world's got a lot of people in it. But we can do something. We possess something that we can use to make a difference. Well, let's talk about what's in this story. First of all, we have compassion. In this story, in order to feed this number of people and help them, there had to be compassion by Jesus Christ. Jesus was teaching His disciples to also possess compassion. Matthew and Mark's accounts remind us of this story that Jesus literally was moved with compassion. Why is that a big deal? Because if you look back at John's account of this, in verse 2, some of these who were part of the ones that He had healed, they were diseased people. You know, who out there in our lives do we know that they're just yucky? You know, we understand the word yucky, right? We understand the word that means we don't want any part of that. There's something that yucks us, okay? There's something that we can look at and we'd be like, no, I don't want to be a part of that. The Davidsons know this very well, right? Recently they posted something on Facebook that was yuck, okay? But the point is, we don't want yuck in our lives, right? We don't want... By the way, it was found in turnip greens, another reason I won't eat them. But the point is, there's something yuck. We don't want any part of that. We don't want to deal with any of this. You know, we view that with people sometimes. They're just yuck. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. They don't smell like us. They're not as clean as us. And I just don't want anything to do with it. Well, Jesus saw thousands of people here, and in that number, there were some that we would classify maybe as yuck. They were diseased. They were sick. They were poor. They were struggling. They didn't have food to eat, and He was moved with compassion. Are we moved with that compassion? Are we the one that can get off our high horse, if you will, and look and see those out there that need us? There's a crowd surrounding each and every one of us. There's a crowd of people in our lives that are surrounding us. They are diseased. By the way, so were we. The worst disease known to mankind is not cancer. It is not AIDS. It is not leprosy. It is sin. Sin is the worst disease of all time, and we've all been stricken with it. The difference is we have the cure. And the cure is Jesus Christ. Somebody was moved with compassion to sit us down. Somebody was moved with compassion to say, hey, let me tell you about the one that can cure you. Are we also sharing that compassion? We learn in Scripture that these, Mark tells us, they were like sheep not having a shepherd. There are lost people around us, right? They're looking for a shepherd. They're looking for a way out. And we've got to do something to help them. We've got to point them in the right direction, just like that somebody did with us. We need to stay focused on what really matters. You know what really matters in life? It's not self, even though that's what we're reminded about every day. Do what feels good for you. It's all about me, myself, and I. That's what advertisements tell us. That's what the world tells us. That's what the devil tells us. Hey man, it's about you, Terry. It's about your feelings. It's about your cares. It's about you. That's not what it is when I come up out of the water. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about His mission. You know, in life, what else does not matter? It's not about material things. Listen, I am very blessed, and you are very blessed, and we have a lot of things. But sometimes when we have those things, we want more of those things. So much so that we take our eyes off what really matters. So in order for us to understand it's not about self, it's not about material things, we need to also remind us that it's not about majoring in the minors. You know, there are a lot of people that get worked up over things that really in life just do not matter. They don't matter one single bit. And we as Christians can't get wrapped up in that as well. In our Judea, okay, remember what He said, be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samarias, okay, what is that? That's right here, Sims, Alabama. Mobile, Alabama, Saraland, Chunchula, Fairview, Wilmer, the state of Alabama, the United States of America, Ukraine, Nigeria, Guyana, our public schools surrounding us, Gulf Coast Bible Camp, Mobile Christian School, Fargo University, so many other places surrounding us. If we're going to make a difference, guess what we have to be moved with? Compassion. It takes money, yes. To evangelize the lost, it takes money. It takes bodies. It takes energy. But friends, it takes compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion to sit the people down. Thanks be to God He was. Thanks be to God that He was moved with compassion for me, for you, and for everyone. Today, what's in your hand? Compassion's in your hands. It's in your gift of abilities. Everybody here can be compassionate. The question is, what are we doing with it? Are we giving back? Are we using it to bring others to Christ? Number two, also in this story, we see there was a contribution. In this text, we learn that there's a lad. If you look back, when Jesus said, "What? Where shall we buy bread that they may eat?" He knew what He was going to do. Philip said, "Hey, there's not enough money in the world to buy bread to fill, or in this area to fill these people." Andrew, Simon Peter said to him that, and then in verse 9, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." You see, there wasn't a lot of money in this story, but there was a lad. There was a young man who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. In this account, the disciples tell Jesus, especially Matthew's account here, they say, "Hey, we only have. This is all we have. There's nothing else. This is all we have right here." Andrew, in John's account, says, "What is 5 small loaves, or what are 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish among so many people?" Philip told Jesus in regards to how many people were there, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. Now let me tell you what that is. That would have been 200 days of work worth of bread. That's a lot of people, folks. He said, if we had 200 days wages and we put it in the pot, there's not enough money here. That wouldn't be enough money to go buy enough bread to feed all these people. But there was a lad. There was a young man. What was he doing there? Why did he have this in his possession? Had he fished all day? Had he worked all day? And this is what he was paid with? Was he taking these loaves of bread and these fish home to help feed his family? Maybe he was going to sell it so that he could buy something special for someone. Maybe it was so that his family could eat and this would be all that they were going to eat that day or even that week. Whatever the reason was, the lad had it. And he was willing to contribute it. It was all he had. But he gave it. Have you ever thought about that? We've always talked about what he had, but it really hit me that he had this, and I don't know why he had it, but he was willing to give it. Why? Was it because there were so many people that were hungry? They were needy? Did he do it just because he loved Jesus? Because he loved the people? But because there was a need? I don't know. I don't know why he did it. But he did. And that to me is special. In the end, he held in his hands 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. They said, "It's not enough. 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't feed these people." But in the end, there were leftovers. 12 baskets. Everybody had what they wanted to eat. They were full. They were satisfied. And then there was leftovers. You know why? Because whatever is in our hands, if we give it to God, He can do amazing things with it. But we've got to be willing to contribute it. We've got to be willing to give it. We've got to be willing to say, like Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." If it's $1 or $1,000, we can all contribute it. Maybe we don't have any money whatsoever, but we have time. We have abilities. We have a body that can contribute. God is not concerned with how much, but folks, He is concerned with at all. Are we willing to give to God what we possess? We have a responsibility. This is not a choice, okay? It is not a choice for us to seek and save the lost. It is a choice, but in God's mind, it's not. It's a choice because we can choose whether we want to do or not do. But when it comes to living the Christian life, the life that we signed up for, that we committed our lives to, we don't have a choice. We've got to seek and save the lost. Am I willing to give myself to do that? Not everyone can be a preacher. Not everyone can conduct a Bible class or a Bible study. Not everyone can go into someone's home and tell them about the church and about Jesus. But we can all contribute. We can all do something. You think that lad ever thought that we'd talk about him 2,000 years later? No. All he did that day was give what he had. But wow, what did Jesus do with what He had? What are we willing to contribute? Finally, in this story, there's compassion that we've been given. There's our lives that we can contribute. But there's one other thing that's given in this story that we possess in our hands that we can do more with, and that's commands. In this story, Jesus gives His disciples some commands. He's moved with compassion. The lad is willing to contribute the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. And so Jesus then gives His disciples some commands. And here they are. The same commands we've been given today. The first one He gave them was, let's feed them. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that the disciples were going to send the crowd away. They were just going to send them away. We can't do anything with them. Just send them away. But Jesus says, don't send them away. We're going to feed them. What does He mean, feed? How is that given to us today? Do you remember when Peter in John 21, after Jesus had been resurrected and Peter thought, hey, I've blown it. And Jesus says, hey, I want to have breakfast with you. And Peter swims in and they have breakfast together and this is a great reunion. Remember what Peter does, or Jesus does to Peter? He gives him some commands. He says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. We've got to feed the people around us. Does that mean sometimes physically? Yes, of course it does. But folks, what I'm really wanting us to get out of this is spiritually, we got to feed them. We've got to give them the food. By the way, when your baby is hungry, do you refuse their food? No! All they know to do is cry out and rely on mama and daddy to feed them. And when they're full, you're not forcing more down their throat. You're gladly giving them what they need. And that's what the world wants too. They're not going to want it forced down their throat, but they are going to want what we have. There's another command. It's the command, bring. Feed, bring. Matthew said, bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Again, 5 loaves and 2 small fish in the lad's hand wasn't much, but in Jesus' hands it was awesome. You see, we also have the privilege to bring. Bring what? Bring burdens. Anybody in here have some burdens today? Bring them to Jesus. Anybody in here have some problems today? Bring them to Jesus today. Anybody have concerns? Bring them to Jesus. But what else do we bring to Jesus? How about let's bring our family? Let's bring our friends. Let's bring our neighbors. Let's bring the lost to Jesus Christ. You see, we need to be grateful for this opportunity that's been given to us. But what's been given to us, much is to be expected. So what are we bringing to Jesus? Another command, He said to sit. All 4 accounts record this command. Isn't that interesting? What some got and what some didn't. All 4 of them recorded the command that Jesus said, have them sit down. You see, we're given the opportunity to rest. Be still and know that I am God, is what God said. We need to sometimes sit and listen. We're busy, busy people. We get really involved with everything we're going. We put both feet in. But sometimes we need to take time and sit and feed ourselves and gather our thoughts and gather our work. Gather our talents. Gather our abilities so that we can do so much for God. Jesus is calling. Jesus is commanding. He's asked us to sit. May we sit at the feet of Jesus. The final command in this passage that He gives us is to gather. John 6, verse 12, He said, gather up the leftovers. You see, there are a lot of people around us that we need to gather up. There's a lot of good around us we need to gather up. Nothing went to waste that day. They had plenty to eat, but they had leftovers. And I'm sure they used it for good. Today, there's a lot of bad around us that sometimes we gather up. Bad things on TV, we gather it up. Bad things happen at work, we gather it up. We gather, we gather, we gather, we gather. Folks, I'm telling you today, we need to get rid of the junk and let's gather up the good. Let's gather up the people. Let's gather up the love. These are commands He gave the disciples in that day. But they're commands He gives us today as well. What do we have in our hands? We have compassion. We have some type of gift or ability that we can contribute. And we have these commands. That story is amazing in itself. But I really want to take you back to where we began. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 4 as we close out, please. I want you to see this today. I want to make sure you don't miss it. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm just going to read a little bit, and we're going to skip around. Again now, he's in the middle, Moses is, of God saying, I want you to go before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Who am I? Who am I to do that, God? Maybe that's you today. Who am I? Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So here's the question. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. Okay, I want you to think about this now. This is where we began. This is where we'll close. What is in your hand? As long as it's in my hand, it is what it is, right? In Moses' hand, it was a rod. But you know what Moses did with it? He cast it before the Lord. He took that rod and he cast it down before God. Of course, it became a snake. He picked it back up. It became a rod. But when he gave it before the Lord, guess what? It changed. Now I want you to look down at verse 19. The Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. He's telling them, go home, get ready. Verse 20. So Moses took his wife and his sons, set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. As long as I possess it, folks, it is what it is. But today, if I will cast it before God, it now belongs to Him. Today, in your seat, is your life. As long as you possess it, it is your life. It may be ordinary, it may be extraordinary according to the world standards, but it's yours. But today, if you will cast it before God, it will be His. So today I plead with you. Make the contribution. Lay it before God. Give your life to Him. As together we stand and sing.